This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to appreciate and to recognize and to expect unpredictability, surprises and shocks and turnarounds and reverses and triple reverses and double reverses and more and more and more in the upcoming election. Who would have thought that at this moment, just before the climactic South Carolina primary, which is this Saturday, no, it's not a Tuesday, this election. It's a Saturday election for the South Carolina primary, and it's an open primary, by the way, meaning that in the Republican race between Nikki Haley, who again seems to be picking up some momentum, but will it be anywhere close to enough to allow her to catch the prohibitive front runner, Donald Trump? The verdict of most pollsters is no, she can't win this primary. But what is unknown is how many Democrats might decide, because there's nothing going on in the Democratic Party and there's no real threat to Joe Biden, and he won the South Carolina primary overwhelmingly 4 years ago. Biden did. That's what gave him the nomination ultimately. So that given the fact that Biden is a lock on the Democratic side, is it possible that some of the people who may not be so happy with Biden in South Carolina will go over to the Republican side to vote for a Republican they prefer? And the polling all does show that when you get outside of that Republican cocoon and you're talking more about America at large, Nikki Haley does much better against Joe Biden than Donald Trump does. Again, a new Quinnipiac poll, which we talked about earlier, showing her 16 points ahead, winning an actual popular vote majority against Joe Biden. Now, would that hold up in light of the new and unexpected arrival of the embryo issue in this election? And just so that everybody is caught up on it, there's a short summary of what's happened and what has injected this issue into the election in the Wall Street Journal, which is about as straight a source as you can find on something like this. There's a piece in the journal today. A major Alabama health system is suspending in vitro fertilization treatments days after the state Supreme Court said frozen embryos qualify as children under state law, meaning not just babies, not just prospective babies, not prospective children, but they believe that an embryo outside of the mother, it hasn't even been implanted yet in the mother, counts as a child. And they said, according to this operation that had been providing in vitro fertilization, and there are different figures that are given on this. Some of the figures say at least 2% of American babies are born through IVF. And a spokesperson for the University of Alabama at Birmingham said yesterday, "We are saddened that this will impact our patients' attempt to have a baby through IVF, in vitro fertilization, but we must evaluate the potential that our patients and our physicians could be prosecuted criminally or face punitive damages for following that standard of care for IVF treatments," so said a spokesperson for the University of Alabama at Birmingham. IVF, which accounts for an estimated at least 2% of all births in the U.S., entails extracting eggs from a woman, fertilizing them in a lab, and transferring the embryos into the woman's uterus. Well, there, that's the adult-rated portion of this show. adults as opposed to embryos. Embryos that aren't immediately transplanted are typically placed in cold storage to be preserved. Now, one of the things about this new legal interpretation of a law that was passed in Alabama in 1871 at the height of Reconstruction, one of the things that is striking about this is, okay, what do you do with those embryos that may be fertilized that you don't use? They're frozen. That means, and do they have a use-by date on them? Well, not entirely, because under this interpretation of the law, the university or the hospital or the individual parent could get in trouble if they simply discarded the embryos or let them thaw out and not become a person. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled Friday, that's a week ago, that frozen embryos can be considered children under the state's Wrongful Death of a Minor Act, enacted in 1871, which allows parents to recover punitive damages in the event of a child's death. The case was brought by several couples whose embryos were destroyed when a patient dropped them on the floor in a fertility clinic's cold storage section. The court said nothing in the Act's language stops it from being applied to frozen embryos. The ruling added it isn't the court's role to make such an exception, especially considering a 2018 constitutional amendment that made it state policy to, quote, recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children. Now, I think very, very few people who would describe themselves as pro-life would describe themselves as anti-IVF. IVF exists for families that are having a tough time conceiving a child in the old-fashioned way and need a little bit of technological help, which has been proven to be, in many cases, most cases, very effective. It just turned out today it was revealed that one of America's leading religious conservatives has had children through IVF. How do we know? Because Karen Pence, the former Second Lady of the United States, the wife of Mike Pence, has indicated that she is a supporter and that their family has benefited from IVF. I don't know which of the little Pences grew up from that beginning, but some of them did. Carving out an exception for the people in this case, small as they were, would be unacceptable to the people of the state. This says the judicial decision of the Supreme Court, who have required us to treat every human being in accordance with the fear of a holy God who made them in his image. That is what the Chief Justice Thomas Parker wrote in a concurring opinion. Justice Greg Cook wrote in a dissenting opinion, the decision would likely force providers in Alabama to stop freezing embryos. No rational medical provider would continue to provide services for creating and maintaining frozen embryos, knowing that they must continue to maintain such frozen embryos forever at risk of the penalty of a Wrongful Death Act claim against them. Now, this may seem like a strange, out-of-left-field new issue, but Charles M. Blow blows it up to a ridiculous extent in a piece in the New York Times. Embryo ruling shows our slide toward theocracy. If you don't know that this country is sliding toward theocracy, you're not paying attention, he writes. On Tuesday, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos are children and that destruction of these embryos, even by accident, is a subject to the state's Wrongful Death of a Minor Act. In his concurring opinion, the Chief Justice of the Court, Tom Parker, wrote, even before birth, all human beings bear the image of God, and their lives cannot be destroyed without facing his glory. What Charles Blow says is this is part of an attack on women, that somehow the idea of going after in vitro fertilization shows sexism. Does it? We'll get to that and more on the MedVet Show. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly 2 decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the show Arthur Herman, who is a senior fellow and director of the Quantum Alliance Initiative at the Hudson Institute. His research programs through that Quantum Alliance Initiative analyze defense, energy, and technology issues. Dr. Herman is the author of 9 books, count them, 9, including the New York Times bestseller, How the Scots Invented the Modern World, the Pulitzer Prize finalists Gandhi and Churchill, and a book that I have enjoyed greatly and we've talked about before concerning the impact and the gift of Viking culture, of Scandinavian culture on the world at large. He has a new piece in the Wall Street Journal that describes Biden rewriting an American tragedy. What is the aspect of Biden you believe that rises to the level of tragedy and not just slapstick and farce? What is the tragic aspect of the Joe Biden presidency?
Hey, thanks for having me back on the show, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here and talk to your listeners again. I wrote that piece because I felt that what we have watched over the last 3 years with the Biden presidency is a tragedy, but it's not a tragedy for Joe Biden. He's not the figure for whom I feel sorry or feel, isn't it a shame, for him that he turned out to be very much, the ineffectual, incompetent, and really wrong-headed policy-driving president that he's been. The tragedy is America's, that we had this period of time. It was right after COVID. We were processing, recovering from that. We had the trauma of the events on January 6th up in the Capitol, and I was in Washington when all of that was unfolding, and the kind of shock and dismay at what was happening there. And then we had this, as you know very well, Michael, this terrible polarization in our country. The chasm between Democrats and Republicans, between left and right, just growing to really unmanageable and unsustainable proportions. And here was a president, here was a man who was elected to the presidency with the idea that he was going to help to work to heal these wounds. And he would bring us, as far as he could, back to a kind of politics that would bring Americans to find common ground in a variety of issues, whether you're talking about energy or dealing with post-COVID recovery or dealing with our adversaries abroad. That he seemed to convey, and this is why I wrote this piece for the Wall Street Journal, he seemed to convey someone who understood what it would take to redirect Americans' energies and to redirect policies, domestic and foreign, that would bring back kind of an even keel for us. And it's turned out to be quite the opposite. He's made us weaker. He's made us more divided. He's made us an economy now that for the majority of Americans, they are drawing them deeper and deeper into a kind of subsistence existence, paycheck to paycheck, piling up debt on their credit cards. All of these kinds of things, you can really root back to what Biden really did as opposed to what he professed to do. And that these 3 years, Michael, in my view, have been lost years or even lost ground years when they should have been one that brought America feeling reset and stronger than ever.
I think you said a number of things, both in your piece, Biden Rewrites an American Tragedy, and in what you just said here on the show. I think you've said some things that the great majority of people who are listening to this right now are going to agree with. You're entirely correct. The question would be, Biden talked a good game about uniting the country, but then didn't really move in that direction. Have you heard anything from his alternative to Donald J. Trump where he even talks about uniting America? Isn't it better to at least talk about that as a goal rather than to emphasize I will be your voice, I will be your justice, I will be your retribution, to talk about his presidency in the sense of not unification, but of revenge?
Well, you know, you put me in a difficult position, Michael, because I did work for Donald Trump when I was on his National Security Council. So I saw, perhaps we could say, a side of Trump that would be rather different from the way in which he's conveyed in the, and conveys himself in mainstream politics. I will say this. I think when the case of Trump, which you've got now here with the 2024 campaign, and he's made signals like this, that his focus is going to be on reversing the Biden policies, and not in seeking out that kind of retribution. Although I think a lot of his base thirst for that kind of retribution, particularly after this serial criminal and civil cases being brought against him. I think that we face right now, a choice that everybody would prefer not to have to face, which is Biden versus a Trump, that either way will be more divided than ever, more polarized than ever. And in the end, this may have less to do with who Donald Trump is or what kind of campaign he runs than in the forces that took Joe Biden from being the moderate. You know, that was kind of his reputation, Michael. You remember that?
Sure.
In the Senate.
Sure.
Sort of mainstream kind of Democrat.
Yes, kind of got along with everybody. Right.
Got along with everybody, and was certainly not a frightening or a terrifying or intimidating figure in any kind of way. And instead became totally captive to a far-left agenda and also let's appease America's enemies no matter what the cost agenda. And I think a lot of that flowed from the people who were left over from the Barack Obama's presidency, who came into the White House and really kind of took over the controls, sat in the driver's seat. I'm thinking about people like Susan Rice, for example, but also others, and who used Biden's growing incapacity, which we've seen and which is now, I think, clear to every American, of what a lot of us were worried about on the day he was sworn into office.
Okay, do you have a few minutes more to continue this conversation?
On the world.
Okay, terrific. Because when we come back, I want to ask you a very direct question. Is you brought up in this conversation January 6th and how torn up the country was by that. Do you think it's appropriate for any of the people who crashed the Capitol building and attacked cops on January 6th to accused and imprisoned? We will get to that question, fundamental one it seems to me, with Arthur Herman coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. Authorities probing Thursday's cellular service disruptions are looking at whether they stem from a cyber attack. ABC News says that the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, and other agencies are investigating whether the outages resulted from a cyber attack or were mere technical issues. Public satisfaction has declined in more domains than it's improved since President Biden took office. According to a Gallup poll since January 2021, satisfaction's notably decreased regarding immigration, the nation's military strength, and energy policies. There is a slight increase in satisfaction with the status of black adults and other racial minorities in the country. A storm is anticipated to impact the Northeast, bringing rain and potential snowfall. Meteorologists predict that the system, which crossed the Midwest on Thursday, will progress eastward into Friday. While the East Coast is projected to receive primarily rain, northern New England may get snow. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Dr. Arthur Herman is the author of 9 books, including a Pulitzer Prize finalist called Gandhi and Churchill. He's the author of books about the Scots and their contributions to the modern world, to Scandinavian culture and the Viking heart. He is also a senior fellow and director of the Quantum Alliance Initiative at Hudson Institute. His new column in the Wall Street Journal has drawn an emotional response on all sides. It is called Biden Rewrites an American Tragedy, and the summary pull quote is, he pledged to unify the nation but squandered his opportunity, dividing and weakening the country. And by the way, I absolutely agree with that pull quote, that the country is even more divided than it was during Trump's term as president. But part of it is because we have this very, very difficult time of half the country who 46% of the people voted for President Trump. And they don't believe that the election was legitimate. And many of them took that belief that was obviously encouraged by the president himself at the time, and attacked police officers, attacked the Capitol building, and threatened to hang Mike Pence. Do you think it was appropriate for the Biden Justice Department go ahead and to supervise some of the federal charges against, what is there? There have been more than 500 participants in January 6th who have been tried and found to be guilty or have made plea deals, with about 600 people total, I believe, in prison. Was that an appropriate way to respond to what happened on January 6th?
Well, I was in Washington when January 6th happened. I remember saying to my assistant, I wasn't there at the scene. My office with the old executive office building, I wasn't in my office at the time. But I remember saying to my assistant, this is going to haunt the Republican Party and the Trump presidency for years to come. This is very bad news. And my own feeling, my own view then and my view now is that anyone who had destroyed property, attacked cops, had engaged in violence of any kind, they deserve whatever kind of penalty could be thrown at them of any kind. You have no idea how angry so many of us was at what had unfolded on January 6th and how disappointed and angry I was that Trump had allowed himself to be in any way identified with what had taken place. I think it was a huge mistake on his part to speak to the rally. If the rally was going to take place, then steer clear of it. That was my feeling about it, and that obviously is not what happened, and that's been the major source of the problem for him that's come from what happened on January 6th in so many ways. My own feeling also, though, Michael, is that anyone who destroyed property, who attacked law enforcement officials, who engaged in violence during the Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots in the previous year and year and a half, they too should be prosecuted.
Absolutely, yes.
Really hasn't happened, has it? That really hasn't unfolded. In your own city, Seattle, saw it was taken over by rioters of political extremists.
Right, and with the approval of some of the people in power, the mayor at the time. And
I couldn't believe that this was unfolding. People were telling me and watching what was happening here. And this is why people talk about a two-tiered justice system. What happened with regard to the January 6th, whether the rioters or people who participated in the occupation of the Capitol, what has happened to them and the degree to which they have been, I would even use the word, pursued and persecuted and everybody rounded up and everybody facing enormous, with the maximum that the law would permit. While the BLM and Antifa rioters just sort of, it's that, they were just protesting and therefore we're not going to say anything or do anything about it. So I'm as angry today as I was that day on January 6th, let me tell you, I'm just as outraged. Just as outrageous as how the BLM and the Antifa people have been allowed to walk.
Okay, again, the extent to which people have been allowed to walk partially is a reflection of a much broader, dispersed, not so concentrated event, and not concentrated directly at the nation's capital. But let's proceed to the question about how you turn this American tragedy that you're describing in your column, how you turn it into something that has the heroic aspect that you see in classical tragedy, which is transformative. How do we go from being this divided, shattered country which has only fissures and suspicions and conspiracy theories into restoring the kind of feelings of national unity that you shouldn't have to have a 9/11 being the only way you can achieve that? What is the best way that the next president, whichever of these two very flawed gentlemen wins the upcoming election, what is the best way
whoever comes through at the end here too?
Well, the only one who survives was going to be a really, really nasty campaign.
Might be too, the only one who stays out of prison. I mean, that's the other thing as well.
We're out of the hospital.
It's an extraordinary election, isn't it? Where either one of them could end up facing a federal prison sentence. before inauguration. It's a pretty frightening, frightening and appalling prospect. What you're asking is a question that I think everyone who's involved in the political campaigns today should be asking for themselves. Interestingly, the one who I think has at least has sort of addressed it directly was Nikki Haley. I mean, I'm not a Nikki Haley fan, I must tell you that, but I do get the sense that she realizes that something has got to be done at a presidential level to try and find some kind of a common ground in what is we now face as the biggest crisis, I believe, that we've faced maybe since World War II. If you take the dire domestic situation we find ourselves in with a wide-open border to the south of us, as well as also to the north, people forget about that, too, but the border has turned out to be just as porous for who's cutting in from across the Canadian border as it is from coming across the Mexican border. And then in the issue that is really the most important, the one which I'm most focused on a professional way and career-wise, is where we stand with regard to our foreign policy, both with regard to our allies and our foes. And I can't think of a time when the United States has been as weakly positioned. And yet at the same time, I feel, Michael, I feel this sense of hope and optimism that this is going to be, that the turnaround is not, it may not come from top down. You know what I'm saying?
It may come from the bottom up, which is the way that a lot of Democrats with a small d believe you to do things. Arthur Herman, his piece about an American tragedy. Let's turn it into at least a heroic story about America. And there are plenty of those. Arthur Herman, you can read his piece at our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back with more. Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Michael Medved show, one of the things that Arthur Herman mentioned in his account of things that are going wrong in the country has to do with the difficulty of maintaining our national defense, of using the money that where the United States has done better than other economies elsewhere around the world. Not only did we have a terrific day on Wall Street today, with this NVIDIA phenomenon and the AI economy and things that are working very well for our country. But we are not using whatever strength there may be in our economic growth and with maybe coping with inflation, and we're still hoping for that soft landing out of wildcat inflation we had before, that with all of that going on, we still have we have to do something about rebuilding our armaments to defend us against Russians, to defend us against Chinese above all, and the Chinese Navy. And there is a very strong majority on both parties now in terms of using our resources to back up our own defense. And part of that involves our economic security and keeping this going. We have a shot at another government shutdown. First one is March 1st, which is, I mean, that's 8 days from now, right? No, it's less, because it's even though it's leap year, we're talking about 7 days from now, a week from now. We've got to get things straight, and then March 8th is another deadline. And without that, we have a government shutdown or a partial government shutdown. And people who may look at political conventions or meetings like the CPAC meeting, yes, they're silly and they are sometimes extreme, and they don't show people at their best. Government shutdowns are worse than that, because it is showing real damage to people's lives and to our economy. And in the midst of that, we also have an emergency in Ukraine. The Wall Street Journal reports that Democrats and some Republicans are preparing fallback plans to force a vote on Ukraine aid, with Democratic leaders drafting a special rule that could enable a narrow bipartisan majority to bypass Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, in the coming weeks. In other words, what this is about is the fact that Republicans are closely divided on the issue of aid to Ukraine. Democrats are not divided at all. Democrats are strongly in favor of providing that needed aid. And the plans to use rare parliamentary procedures are in the early stages and might never come into play. Democrats' preference is for Mike Johnson to allow a vote on the Senate's $95 billion bill to help U.S. allies Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and to replenish depleted U.S. weapons stocks. But Mike Johnson has said the House won't be pressured into passing the Senate bill as is. But Johnson, who also is concerned with looming government shutdowns with deadlines on March 1st and March 8th, hasn't offered his own plan on the aid package. That has opened the door to a flood of competing counter proposals as lawmakers wait for the novice speaker to make a decision. The best thing Mike Johnson could do right now is to get out of the way, because this is a critical situation where there is actually a majority, and it's not a majority of 4 or 5 seats. It's a majority of 100 seats that exists in the Congress in favor of this aid package, which the Senate has already passed, but it is not a clear majority of the Republican caucus. When you add the Democrats to it, the majority is very clear. So basically, for Mike Johnson to step aside to basically hand off through one of these procedures his ability to allow the Senate bill to come to the floor, to be amended, to be debated, and then hopefully to be passed, and so that you don't have this situation, which we talked about yesterday, where Ukrainians who are risking their lives are simply do not have enough shells to use to fire back at the Russians, who have won one of their biggest single victories of the war. It still, by the way, hasn't erased the gains that the Ukrainians had made before. And they are still in the midst of a fight that is not at all close to being decided. This is Christiane Amanpour on CNN talking about her conversation recently with the Ukrainian foreign minister. This is at clip 14.
What's absolutely clear is everybody we speak to, whether it's military, whether it's civilian, whether it's the civilian leadership or soldiers, they strongly believe that the lack of weapons and ammunition, particularly ammunition, is what's causing these incremental new gains by Russia. The foreign minister here told me yesterday that they would not have lost Avdiivka if it had not been for the, you know, as he put it, you know, lengthy debates that have blocked up the weapon supply here, and that he said people on the front are paying with for their lives. And just finally, Boris, I would say that everybody knows, and Putin has said it many times, that he does not believe the West has the staying power. He said it from the beginning, and he is definitely trying to make as much headway as he possibly can while the weapons are still held up by Congress.
And then there was a comment which is also alarming in its own way. Senator Tommy Tuberville, the former football coach who is Republican senator from Alabama, he spoke at CPAC on Ukraine aid and had this to say.
We're the one that forced this war because we kept forcing NATO on Ukraine and showing Russia, hey, we're going to build military bases on your borders. And Putin said, no, no, you're not going to do that. And so now I've got a bunch of my people that I'm in the Republican Party with that voted for the $60 billion. I hadn't voted for any money to go to Ukraine because I know they can't win. They don't, you know, you hate that they've had 300,000 or 400,000 people killed, so Russians also. You hate that we've supported this. We're pushing them out in front of the guns or out in front of the bus, as I guess you'd speak. It's an atrocity, but they can't win.
Okay, that, of course, is also not reflected in the distorted figures that he gave. When he said they've had 300,000 to 400,000 people killed, the Ukrainian casualties have been much too high, but the Russian casualties have been infinitely worse. It's a bigger society, of course. This is Joe Scarborough, and I think what he's talking about is Mike Johnson and Trump and their attitude toward Vladimir Putin. Listen, clip 12.
Trump, Mike Johnson, keeps defending this tyrant who killed Navalny, this tyrant who invaded Georgia in 2008, this tyrant who invaded Crimea in 2014, this tyrant who invaded Ukraine a couple of years ago, this tyrant that has continued to kill any political opponents or journalists or even people on foreign soil, tried to kill people on foreign soil who he considers his rivals. This is who Donald Trump and Mike Johnson continue to defend. It's sickening, and I will circle back to what Mika says. It's un-American.
Which is a tough charge to make against the Speaker of the House. We're going to be speaking to Daniel Henninger on the Wall Street Journal, who has a column entitled Trump Owes Some Answers. And some of the answers he owes have to do with one of his most controversial quotations ever, where President Trump spoke at town hall with Laura Ingraham and repeated again that he would actually encourage Vladimir Putin to take on and punish and potentially invade NATO allies that he thought were not spending enough money, not enough money on their own defense. We will consider all of that with Daniel Henninger and more coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040. And feel young again.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.